The Biden administration is looking at paying reparations to illegal aliens. A judge has stepped in and blocked Biden's federal vaccine mandate for certain employees. Plus, Republican Glenn Youngkin surges in the race for Virginia governor. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is the 13-Minute News Hour.
God bless the United States of America.
Okay, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Friday. I hope you had a great week. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. We have a big Friday show. We've got bonus coverage, plus relaxed brain, which we'll get to later. But we're going to start with Joe Biden, because word is coming out, driven by a story in the Wall Street Journal, that the Biden administration is considering paying reparations to illegal aliens whose families were separated during former President Trump's administration. That's right. People came over here illegally, didn't go through the proper channels, and encountered border policies that they knew were in place. And now, these illegal aliens may get a big payday. Here's the story. The Biden administration is in talks to offer immigrant families that were separated during the Trump administration around $450,000 per person in compensation, according to people familiar with the matter, as several agencies work to resolve lawsuits filed on behalf of parents and children who say the government subjected them to lasting psychological trauma. The U.S. Departments of Justice, Homeland Security, and Health and Human Services are considering payments that could amount to close to $1 million per family, though the final numbers could shift, the people familiar with the matter said. Most of the families that crossed the border illegally from Mexico to seek asylum in the U.S. included one parent and one child. We are looking at the Biden administration paying around $1 million to families who illegally entered the country. We are already seeing historic numbers of illegal border crossings because the word has gotten out that the Biden administration will do nothing to stop you once you get here. How do you think the reaction will be once word gets out that you can actually get paid for illegal actions? Now, this process of separating parents and children was implemented because some of the adult illegal aliens were suspected of not being true asylum seekers. In other words, lawbreakers, in addition to illegally crossing the border, which by itself is breaking the law. And a U.S. court ruling stated that you can't put migrant children in jail. So the children were separated from the parents while the parents were under investigation. Just like here in the U.S., if an adult is taken to jail, the children aren't thrown in jail with him. Former President Trump stopped the policy and implemented actions such as Remain in Mexico so that these cases could be investigated without letting potential drug dealers and smugglers into the country. But ACLU attorneys and attorneys from other law firms started representing these illegal border crossers, and now the Biden administration wants to pay them. Here's Republican Representative Jim Jordan.
And think about this, you're gonna pay people $500,000 who broke the law at the same time the Biden administration is getting ready to raise taxes on the hardworking families of this country. It makes absolutely no sense. And I think about this. First, you break the law, you get amnesty with Democrats. Now they're going to pay you for breaking the law. You think we have a problem in a caravan coming towards the border now and what we've seen over the last several months. Wait until the word gets out that you actually get paid for breaking the law to come into our country.
Great comments by Jim Jordan. Senator Tom Cotton blasted the proposed reparations as well, noting that Biden's promises of citizenship and entitlement programs have already caused the worst border crisis in history, and a huge cash reward will make it even worse. Here's more from the Wall Street Journal. The discussions about the payouts have taken place over the past few months among a group of dozens of private lawyers representing the families and government lawyers. Some government lawyers have viewed the payouts as excessive for people who had violated the law by crossing the border. A Department of Homeland Security attorney involved in the settlement talks complained on a conference call that the payouts could amount to more than some families of 9/11 victims received. This is unreal. There's no question that the Biden administration from day one has incentivized people to illegally cross the border. Biden stopped Remain in Mexico, although a judge told him to restart it. Biden has catch and release, and it's become the standard for the Biden team. People are crossing into the country illegally and then just disappearing. all of these measures, and now the lure of cash payments will act just like a magnet to draw even more people here, and that's exactly what the left wants. All right, so next, there's a major update on Biden's federal vaccine mandates, but first, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on, that way you can follow the show and help us grow. Okay, let's talk about the ruling that just came down on Thursday dealing with Joe Biden's federal vaccine mandate for members of the military and civilian staff. A U.S. District Court judge has put a temporary freeze on any firings because of this policy. Here's the story. A U.S. District Court judge on Thursday issued a temporary restraining order that prevents the Biden administration from firing both civilian and active duty military plaintiffs who sued over religious exemptions to COVID-19 vaccine mandates. Judge Colleen Collar Cotelli in the District of Columbia ordered that none of the civilian employee plaintiffs will be subject to discipline while his or her request for a religious exception is pending, according to a tweet by lawyer Jenna Ellis. Active duty military plaintiffs whose religious exception requests have been denied will not be disciplined or separated during the pendency of their appeals, the judge added. This is such great news. This federal vaccine mandate is unconstitutional, and I believe that will be shown eventually by the Supreme Court. But until then, I'm thankful that we have judges such as this one who actually follow the Constitution and law. Here's more. Joe Biden and members of his administration were sued by 20 plaintiffs over the September 9th executive order mandating vaccines for federal employees, Fox News reported. The Biden administration has shown an unprecedented cavalier attitude toward the rule of law and an utter ineptitude at basic constitutional contours, the plaintiff's attorney, Michael Yoder, said in a statement to Fox News. This combination is dangerous to American liberty. Thankfully, our Constitution protects and secures the right to remain free from religious persecution and coercion. With this order, we are one step closer to putting the Biden administration back in its place by limiting government to its enumerated powers. It's time citizens and courts said no to tyranny. The Constitution does not need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread. I love that, and we need more people stepping up and fighting back. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is now suing the Biden administration, NASA, and other government agencies over the vaccine mandates that apply even to federal contractors, which are big employers in places like Florida and Texas, where I am. So far, 21 GOP state attorneys general have signed on to a letter to the Biden administration saying the vaccine mandates stand on shaky legal ground and need to stop. The federal government does not have this power. We the people do. Okay, so next, here's an update on Republican Glenn Youngkin and his race to be the next governor of Virginia. The election is just a few days away, and Youngkin is now leading several polls. His Democrat challenger is Terry McAuliffe, who previously served as Virginia governor and has a huge ties to the Clintons. One of the latest developments is the news that the McAuliffe campaign tried to kill a news story regarding McAuliffe's hiring of a political attorney with ties to Hillary Clinton, the discredited Steele dossier, and the entire effort to go after the 2016 Trump campaign on phony claims. Here's some background from Fox News.
Terry McAuliffe, here in the 11th hour, paid a lawyer by the name of Mark Elias. He used to be with Perkin Coie, which has been aligned as they're the people who were involved in the Steele dossier and Hillary Clinton and all that stuff. Anyway, they hired him for about $60,000 on the McAuliffe side. So Fox News reaches out for a comment, and I guess the McAuliffe campaign person hit the wrong button. And instead of responding, they said, "Can we try to kill this?" Which apparently they didn't want that story out there.
This is a crack up. The McAuliffe campaign has gone out of its way to show that it is out of touch with workers, parents, and everyday people in Virginia. Now he hires this disreputable attorney, and his staff's response to a Fox News question is, "Can we kill a story?" So much for accountability and transparency. Here's Jim Jordan.
Yeah, they didn't want the American people to know they hired this dirty trickster lawyer for the Democrats who happened to have been the partner of the guy John Durham just indicted, Michael Zussman. These were the guys at Perkins Coie who helped put together the whole plan when they did the fake dossier and went after President Trump's campaign. So I can see why they didn't want the story out there. But right. It shouldn't surprise us. It shouldn't surprise. Terry McAuliffe's been, you know, I think his name is Terry McAuliffe Clinton. He's been associated with the Clintons forever.
Now, regarding polling in the Youngkin campaign, Youngkin is now in front in the latest Fox News poll. In a survey of likely voters compiled just a few days ago, the rise Youngkin has been dramatic. Youngkin now leads McAuliffe by 53% to 45%. Just 2.5 weeks ago, the results were essentially flipped, except Youngkin's lead now is bigger than McAuliffe's was then. And here's something interesting and very telling. Take a look at the results when comparing registered voters and likely voters. Among registered voters, Youngkin now leads by 1 point, but among likely voters, he leads by 8. This clearly shows that GOP voters are more fired up about this race and their candidate than the Democrats are about Terry McAuliffe. Youngkin has tapped into the frustrations of parents across the state who are seeing school boards act like communist dictators, pushing critical race theory, the 1619 Project, and anti-science transgender policies. The parents are fighting back, and Youngkin is leading the charge. Can Youngkin make a dent in the liberal concentrations of Virginia? I think so, and if he can, he'll be the next governor. All right, so we've had reparations for illegal aliens, Joe Biden pushing vaccine mandates, and Terry McAuliffe trying to kill news stories. We need to ask them, do you have a relaxed brain?
I got what you call, like, I don't know, a relaxed brain.
Okay, first, let's talk about AT&T, because the company is just the latest in a growing line of corporations being infected with wokeness. Christopher Rufo, who is an expert on the left's embrace of critical race theory, has a new column highlighting AT&T's latest program. AT&T Corporation has created a racial re-education program that promotes the idea that American racism is a uniquely white trait and boosts left-wing causes such as reparations, defund police, and trans activism. White employees, the source said, are tacitly expected to confess their complicity in white privilege and systemic racism, or they will be penalized in their performance reviews. As part of the overall initiative, employees are asked to sign a loyalty pledge to keep pushing for change with suggested intentions such as reading more about systemic racism and challenging others' language that is hateful. If you don't do it, the senior employee says, you're considered a racist. This is just crazy. These programs do nothing to bring people together, and in fact, they are a major reason why race relations are worse than they were 10 years ago. And then we have this. Joe Biden flew off to Europe on Thursday after announcing that a deal had been reached with congressional Democrats on his infrastructure and Green New Deal bills. In reality, there was no deal. Democrat lawmakers ignored the framework agreement President Biden offered for a $1.75 trillion expansion of the federal safety net, dealing him an embarrassing blow to his credibility as he jetted to Europe to meet with world leaders. Mr. Biden, after months of delay, shocked Washington on Thursday by announcing he had the basis for a deal on the long-sought social welfare and climate change bill. While the package's overall price tag was far short of the $3.5 trillion originally proposed, Mr. Biden heralded the compromise that would bring together his fractured Democrat Party. What a goof! Biden flies overseas, and the thing that he wanted more than anything was to portray strength. Instead, he looks even weaker than before. Nancy Pelosi said she wanted to have the deal done before Biden landed in Europe. Well, Biden landed and there was no deal. There is no deal. The Democrats are in disarray, and even with control of the House, Senate, and White House, they have shown that they are incapable of leading. And then, how about some breaking headlines from the Babylon Bee? And first, we have the leftist feminism's ongoing battle with the so-called patriarchy, but with a little dose of reality. Patriarchy declares victory after taking over women's sports, restrooms, and top military roles. And then, score one for Jen Psaki, who Fox News' Chris Wallace said was one of the best press secretaries ever. Psaki points out that inflation doesn't matter, since there are no goods to purchase anyway. And finally, I actually have to take issue with the Babylon Bee, who produced this wildly inflammatory story. Divided Nation finally unites over shared hatred for Houston Astros? Well, for all my fellow Houstonians and Astros fans out there, I'll say, let's go Astros. And for the rest of you, let's go Brandon. All right, friends, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. And don't forget, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Thank you so much for tuning in. Our next show is going to be Monday evening at the usual time, 6:30 p.m. Central. Until then, I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.